You are now listening to the Scrolls Podcast. Podcast. Podcast.
Podcast. Oh. Yeah. Oh. That's right. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Oh.
I was raised by the wolves. I was raised by the wolves.
It ain't really a guest I got with me today, y'all. It's more straight up family. And it's my big cousin, Quick, Damn Fool, Calhoun, Sam, or as we call them from, you know, childhood, Jerome. When you know somebody's name from way back then that don't nobody really know them as these days, y'all family for real. But yeah, man, I wanted to bring him on, get him to, you know, tell his story. I got some stories to share about him. And really just sticking to the script, man, get my people involved and just kicking around everyday shit. So yeah, I'm gonna get him in here and we're gonna get it going. Stay tuned.
Yo.
No.
What's up, family?
We got it. I'm not, I ain't gonna lie to you. You getting the sauce, you getting the sauce edition, because nigga, I'm damn, this battle is almost gone.
What happened?
I said this bottle is almost gone, so you getting the sauce scrolls.
The sauce
scrolls. Anyway, man, I got my family with me tonight, y'all. I got my family with me. I already did your intro, so you can introduce yourself, but yeah, I like the way I did your intro, so I'll leave it up to you if you want to or not.
What's up? What's up, Scrolls? This Quick, aka Sam. You know what I do. What's up?
All right. Now, so we gonna start with that. We're gonna start with the home team. For the people that don't know or unaware, or maybe just don't give a damn, and now they're gonna hear it anyway. Talk about Lansing growing up here, and when you felt like it was time to move on.
Oh man. I mean, of course, nigga, ain't nothing like, ain't no place like home, but, Lansing, coming up there, man, it was love, you know what I'm saying? Like, Lansing is a family-oriented city, that's the way I see it, and, like, you get along with basically the folks that's close to you, or would you say in your circle and shit like that, so... I mean, that's them circles kind of make you feel good about coming up there. There's not very many opportunities though, since they don't say they shut down the factories and shit like that, and the crime rate going up. But the crime rate was always there. It just wasn't ever talked about that much when I was coming up.
Yeah.
But it's always been there. But now shit is like really starting to shine a light.
What's the what year did you move from here, and talk about where you've lived since Lansing?
I left there, I think it's about 12 years ago now.
So, well, it's been that long?
Yeah, dog, it's been that long, bro. It's been that long, man.
And when you left here, you went to Florida first, right?
Yeah, I went to Florida first, and I had ran a car detail, mobile car detailing thing down there for a while. But of course, you know what I'm saying, new place, new life. Nigga was staying beyond his means. Nigga had like a high ceiling ass condo. 1500.
He was doing too much.
Yeah, so dude.
What city was y'all in Florida?
I was in motherfucking Ply City. I actually kicked up that nigga brother a couple of other times, Fort Myers.
Fort Myers, I've been there. Fort Myers is cool, man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like
it. So you was there how long?
I was there for almost 2 years. Almost 2 years.
And then from there to San Antonio.
Yep. When shit was going downhill, money wasn't right. And then I got a call. My mom and my uncle was already out here. And my mom just told me straight up, shit, if you can't hold it down or bounce back, I got a job out here for you, making about $25 an hour. I said, say less. Pack my car.
Up out of there. Get up out of there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's crazy because you've talked to people. Talking to strangers is one thing,
But you realize how crazy it is to hear your own people's story just because you used to talking to them. You never think to really ask shit like that.
Right, right.
Like I said, you'd have been gone 12 years. And I mean, it's interesting. It's interesting to ask. So I want to, your list, man, your list is a little different. Your list is personal. I ain't hit nobody else with this type of scrollage.
I got you.
So, yeah. What's some shit you wish you never had to experience in the biggest lesson you learned?
Shit that I never wish I had experienced. I mean, if you'd have asked me that a couple years ago, I probably would have said when we lost Neek. You know, that was a tough pill to swallow. But as of now, the toughest shit that I've went through, bro, is, you know, having to change my life up and take in my grandparents due to their dementia and Alzheimer's and shit, man. And just going through that whole ordeal, man, it's kind of taxing, you know. Ain't no telling when it's going to be over, you know what I'm saying? I got to go through all these institutions, these insurance companies, all type of motherfucking shit, getting their house cleaned up and ready for whatever the hell I'm going to do with it. So, I mean, that's why probably one of the most things that's going on with me right now. And it's a learning experience, though, and it's, you know what I'm saying? I guess you can say it kind of made me make a nigga grow up fast. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I want to backtrack, because the first part you mentioned was my next question. And I know this is my first time ever even actually talking about it, but I know personally what losing Neek did for me. And it literally just sent my head in a spiral. Everything from all the shit that happened. I mean, obviously we ain't gonna get into specifics because that's actual street business.
Yeah.
But all of the shit that happened up to that, you know, I sat back and really just added everything up and was just looking at shit. And that was actually, it was a turning point for me in my life to realize, all right, well, I gotta get my shit together. Because being involved in certain shit, being around certain shit, taking certain risks for shit, it's like I see what can come from that now, and I see how deep shit really gets. So for you, what did that specifically do for you? Did it anger you? Did it put you in a place where you wanted to do some shit? Because once again, for me, every time for like a good 2 or 3 or 4 years, even I won't say now because I don't really get drunk like that now.
Mm.
But before, like when I would get really twisted, I would instantly want to go do some dumb shit.
Yeah.
It's just off the muscle of getting that aggression off. And obviously I'm a thinker, so you know, I never went that far and just jumped off the deep end. But what mentally, what effect did that have on you when the shit happened?
Man, I was dumb angry about the shit, you know? And back at that time, I ain't really, in the shit that we was really into, I didn't really do too much thinking. It was all reaction. And I was angry, man. I wanted to pop the shit off. And then a little bit, I kind of felt like I could have prevented this shit if I would have stayed at home. But then again, I feel like hell. It wasn't gonna be doing me no good because I either been up dead in jail behind the shit. But
even unrelated to that, you know, once again, not getting specific, but just my two cents on that. For the people that don't know, around that time when all of that shit was going on, was when I was probably at my most ignorant and most blind and shit. And
correct.
I love to tell those stories, but some of that shit is to really get it, I'd have to be too detailed.
Right, right. A lot but, of things like that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but just speaking on your behalf,
man.
You had your own shit going on that was in the same highway but a different lane. Man. So you saying that, like you even being here, I mean, me and you know the type of shit that then went on.
Right.
We both know the type of shit you've been involved in. And that's kind of like, that's like the curse of the city. It's like, that's what was in the air at the time.
Exactly.
Whether it was Neek or whether it was just niggas at the club knocking niggas down and punching niggas in the mouth and doing all this extra shit, whatever it was, at the end of the day, it was all just crazy nonsense.
Right, exactly.
And you look at it now, you know, fast forward to where niggas is grown, niggas is having kids, niggas is doing this and that and the third. You look back at it, it's like, damn, that was so long ago. But the truth of the matter is, at that point in time, it wasn't much for us to do about the shit. Like, either nigga, we getting this shit on or we ain't. It's like, right. Niggas. So, but man, I get it, man. But it was, like I said, you personally, damn, I wish I, man. I wish I could be specific, right, because it'd make the picture perfect clear.
Right, right.
But for the people that are listening, all I can say is, he was actually in some shit that didn't have nothing to do with none of that. It's just being at this place at this time, getting into it with this person, and shit ended up getting real. So, I mean, is that what pushed you to feel like, okay, well, fuck Lansing, like this is too much. It ain't nothing here. I'm gonna end up either locked up or dead behind some shit. Is that what motivated you to get up out of here, or was it just, did you not really care about that and was like, okay, well, as far as money and this and that and the third, I got to get up out of here?
Well, I really didn't. To tell you the truth, I was trying to leave before then because, I don't know if you know, but I was going through this little case before that other situation even took place. And
yeah.
I was either, and I felt like the air was getting thin. You know what I mean? And I told myself and I told my lady, I said, man, if I beat this motherfucking case, I'm probably about to either go to the military or I gotta figure out something to do.
Yeah.
And then that's what, I don't know, you know White Boy Ryan?
Yeah.
Ryan was the one living in Florida. And him and his chick had just broke up, and she took the baby, and he needed some help with the business. I was like, you know what? I told the judge, I said, if you let me out of this one, you ain't gonna never see me again.
I'm gone. tell that damn lie, nigga. This ain't gonna.
Hey, but look, I took my testimony, man. So I just didn't go. Yep.
So didn't enlist in Nathan.
That situation didn't really. I mean, it bothered the nigga, but it didn't waver me too much to make me want to leave.
You know, a lot of people that look at that and be like, you know, they look at you sideways because you're supposed to always, according to the rule, whoever wrote this fucking rule book, you're supposed to always just be in the same position, and that's what makes you real. Now, me, I look at it like whatever is keeping a nigga head above water, whatever is keeping you productive, go do it. I don't give a fuck if you move to Australia. Nigga, if that's what it takes for you to get your life together, then do it. Did that ever cross your mind? Like, did you ever feel like the survivor's remorse type thing?
My shit was like, nigga, I'm not gonna do nothing else than what I'm doing now if I don't get the fuck out of here. You know, man, what I'm saying? That's what it was. You know, I knew I'd still be motherfucking doing crazy shit, motherfucking whatever. I mean, like, all the crazy, you know the shit. You got
niggas that had some nights, man. Niggas that had some nights.
Still be a motherfucking victim of the bottle and all type of shit like that. You know what I mean? So I figure, hey, if I get the fuck out of here and I don't know nobody and I have to put my back to the wall and make success for myself and my family, this gonna be the best move.
Man, what's the difference between living in the Midwest versus down south?
It's mad different. It's way different, son. Like, now I guess what you say, like, people where we from is real friendly, I guess, too. Let's say something like that. And people down here is like more straightforward, and they gonna let you know what it is, and it ain't no too much nigga gonna like snake you or nothing like that. See, back home, growing up back home, you be worried about a nigga snaking you all the time. Niggas down here don't be like that. You know what I'm saying? Niggas don't, they don't, they hardly ever steal from one another. At least not the people, you know what I'm saying, that I know. You know, I met, yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's different in that aspect. Life is way a whole lot faster down here than it is up there. You know, like, I don't know how to put it. It's a whole different type of living. Like, a whole different type.
In Texas, or was it? Is it the same? Is it similar? Like, with Florida and Texas, or is it different from those two
Florida,
down there?
Florida is definitely faster living than it is here in Texas. So, yeah. That's shit crazy. It blew my mind. Like, because these cities, coming from where we from, of course, it's the capital, but it's not a very big place. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
These cities, dog, we having millions and millions of people. Like, it'd be crazy.
Yeah. Texas a big ass state, man. Texas is its own world, for damn sure.
Hell yeah. And you know what I'm saying? You know, Lansing, it take you can get from any side, to any side of town, from anywhere, in 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm. That's if you're doing the speed limit. If you're trying to get somewhere, it's 10 minutes exactly. Everywhere.
Man, you go somewhere here, man, it might, it's liable to take you 2 hours to get home and visit.
I remember when I came, the one time I've been, because I only been to Texas one time, the one time I went to Houston, and the first thing I noticed was that damn heat. I remember getting up around, what time? It was sometime in the morning, before the afternoon. I stepped outside to go to the car because Brenda and Tashina were supposed to go to the mall and just do some regular shit. Nigga, I stepped out the house like, hell no. We're going to have to wait until this sun go down because I can't deal with that heat out there. Not only that, it seemed like everywhere we went, I swear it felt like it was 45 fucking minutes. I'm like, by the time we get there, I don't even want to do this shit no more. We're going to the beach. By the time we get there, it ain't hot no more. By the time we go to the mall, it's like everything was just so fucking spread out. And we're not used to that here. You know, you jump on the highway, you on it for a good 5 minutes and you to wherever the hell you was going. So, was it hard for you adjusting to how it is in Michigan to down there? Or was it like, well, you know, I'm here, this is what it is?
It was hard adjusting, you know what I'm saying? I don't know if you remember, though, dog. Before I left for Florida, gee, I had came down here and was about to stay. But then the situation I was in, I was like, man, fuck this, I'm going back home. Because I just wasn't ready yet, you know what I'm saying? And then...
Yeah.
When I left home the second time, that's when I left to go to Florida.
What's some shit? Because you actually spent time actually off the porch, not just, you know, like some niggas would say, where they dibbled and dabbled in it, you were actually out in the thick of shit. You obviously learned some lessons from it, or you would have been a victim of it. What's some shit you learned from the streets that you applied to fatherhood and steering your kids off of that path? Because one thing I will say right now is you've always been an active father. No matter what the fuck was going on, no matter how drunk niggas was, no matter what bullshit was happening, you never lost the aspect of being a good father. So what's the shit you learned from that you applied to how you parent?
Me and my son talk about things all the time, man. And I have his homeboys, you know what I'm saying? They come over here, man, they over here more than I live here. They in here. And I have conversations with them. And I tell them, y'all got a craft. You know what I'm saying? They all play football, and they damn good at it. Everybody in the
damn good at it.
Everybody
for real.
In the city know who they is. And I tell them, bro, you niggas ain't got to go out here and be no gangsters, do no drugs. None of that. You need money, nigga. I'll reach in my pocket and give you some money. All you gotta do is go to school and play ball. You know, I tell them all the time. You know, I've lost friends behind these streets. You know what I'm saying? You ain't gotta go with the trend. You gotta be in the streets. Be cool. You little niggas showing their guns and drugs and money on Instagram and their photos. Man, that shit ain't cool.
Yeah.
the cool nigga is the one handling his business. Because once you get out of this school shit and you move up to the next level, we gonna see where the cool kids come in. How you gonna get that check when it's time? You know what I'm saying?
Right, right. Do you ever share like actual in detail, because you got so many stories to tell. Do you ever tell detailed shit to them? Or do you just scratch the surface with them?
No, I keep it 100% a buck with them. And you know, they have... I told them one story, man. I went all into detail with it, to so deep to just to make them feel where I was coming from. And by the end of me telling them that story, you know, them niggas was in tears, crying, because they felt it. You know what I'm saying?
You ever share with them the story?
Yeah. Yep.
So they know about that one. Yeah. Crazy part is, I don't even know all the way.
I'll tell you one day.
I don't even know all the way happened. All I know is shit pop off, shit go how it's supposed to go. But I think it's important that you share those detailed stories with kids, because when you don't, they think you just blowing smoke. But when you tell them straight up, like, no, this happened, that happened, and this how it ended. They're like, okay, this nigga know what he talking about. Then it ain't, because that's some shit that a lot of them, a lot of that shit spook them when they hear how shit actually happened.
Right, put the fear of God in me.
But yeah. But years ago, and that actually leads to, if people have put two and two together. Years ago, when I got my first pistol, you said something to me that I still live by to this day. Do you know what it was you said to me? And this is in reference to an episode I did about every black man should have one. Just to throw you a hint. Do you remember that? The piece of advice you gave me.
What I tell you, don't pull that motherfucker unless you're gonna bang it.
that and it was something else. You said you mentioned something about never. Well, anytime you out here, never have it on safety.
Yeah.
That was one thing that stuck with me, because all it takes, and that's a lesson that a lot of people, when you're moving around, especially if you're in some nonsense, but even if you ain't, the weight of hearing that is because life can literally be snatched from you in that split second that it takes you to get your shit off safety and be ready for
that
something.
That quick. So, you know, what you say on the episode, nigga? If you stay ready, you ain't never got to get ready.
Right. That's the whole thing. But I always wanted to ask where you got that from.
That was just, that shit just came from my train of thought at the time. Because there was no way, no how, no shape or form or fashion that if I had something to do with it, I'm gonna be going home at the end of the night. You know, so there's gonna be nobody on this earth that's gonna take me from my family unless it's myself or the God Almighty.
Right.
That was that.
That's something that's really a gem. Yeah, I reckon a lot of niggas then lost their lives behind. Because it sounds small, but that when some shit really happened, and you got to draw down, a lot of times that panic is gonna kick in, because you don't know what that person got on the other side, you don't know how they thinking, you don't know what tip they on, and if you take that extra second to think about it, if you draw down and you pull the trigger and your shit is on safety. You damn near good as dead if that other person knows what's going on already.
Shit, to jump off of it, probably about earlier today, a friend of mine sent me a video that was on, I guess it was on Facebook or whatever. Man, these two guys walked up on this group of dudes, and mind you, it was like four dudes. It looked like they was making some kind of drug transaction or something. But both guys walked up on these four dudes, and these two guys had guns behind their back. You know, they had both their hands behind their back and just walked up slow on these cats, and just drew down on them, lit all four of them up. And mind you, all these four niggas had pistols, and they tried to pull them, but they couldn't get no shots off.
That should be life or death, and that's. The thing about it is, my whole thought process behind it was, it's bigger than just carrying a pistol. Like, this is a mindset you have to have moving through life, period. Like, you always got to be ready to set some shit down. You always got to be ready to go no matter what it is. Whether it's disciplining kids, whether it's everything, you always got to be ready for what's in front of you instead of always thinking you always going to have that extra second to get some shit done.
Right.
Now, I wanted to ask you this. Would you move back to Lansing if the city went through a change for the better and there was more money here and there was more shit going on?
Probably not, bro. It's nothing there for me no more. I mean, my only thing there for me is my father and my stepmom. I mean, my brothers and sisters are there too, but everything that I needed to take care of, this thing with my grandparents, I knew that this moment in life was gonna come because I'm the only responsible one on that side of the family. So yeah. I knew one day that it would come, and then when it did, I had to be quick on my feet and fucking see how I was gonna get this situation to where it could be secure. You know what I'm saying? And I just had to be ready mentally. Yeah.
That's that mindset. I literally just said that. Living off safety.
Mm-hmm. You never know what hoops you're going to go through. Life throw you anything, man. Anything.
Speaking of that, talk about the bike life.
The bike life. It's...
Yeah.
What you want to know about that, though?
Because you've been into it for years. The thrill, like, do you ever like second guess doing it? Because, you know, I remember being on Facebook and seeing every other day, bike down, check on your people, bike down, check on your people. Because it's like, all right, well, obviously we know motherfuckers can't drive. And I always wonder what pushes the people that are into that lifestyle, what pushes y'all to continue riding when you know how dangerous it is.
It comes along, you gotta have a passion. When you have a passion for something, bro, that shit will never leave. Just like with you, it's probably music. You know what I'm saying? That shit, even if you're not doing music, you're not actively, you know, creating albums, creating tracks or something, but that's a passion in yours that you will never, ever, ever put down. You know what I'm saying? And then, like, once you get into something like riding motorcycles and you love it, and you know what I'm saying? You love the feeling of freedom it gives you. You love the camaraderie you get from the people you roll with all the time, bro. You just tend to think to yourself, like, this is what it is. It ain't nothing gonna happen to me, but you still gotta account for shit that can happen to you. Mm. You know what I'm saying? But it's just a passion, bro. That's all it is. It's a passion. It's something you love doing. That's my hobby.
How many accidents have you had since you started riding?
Let's see. Three. I've been down three times. I've been down once when I lived at home, and twice down here.
This last one
was the worst one. I didn't know if I was gonna make it.
Actually, you gotta break that one down, cause that's...
I was on the highway one night. You know what I'm saying? We was nutting up, speeding and shit, of course. Alcohol plays a factor too. Alcohol plays a hell of a factor, man. That's why I don't even fuck with that shit like that no more. I drink every now and then, but if I know I'm gonna be on my bike, I won't be drinking. Yeah. We was on the highway, this highway called 281, and the highway is literally like a racetrack, all kind of dips and turns and shit like that. It's fun to ride. So we left the bar and we headed back to my people's house, and boom, I'm out there a little bit. Me and my homegirl, she on her bike, I'm on mine. We out there a little bit, and we come up on the police real fast. I'm like, oh, fuck. I know these motherfuckers gonna pull me over, but I said I ain't going to jail tonight, so I kicked that bitch down, shot up out of there, and usually I ride that highway at dumb speeds, you know what I'm saying? So the error came. I made one error. When you riding at that speed, you do not do nothing but focus on what's in front of you. And mind you, me being a little inebriated and shit, what I do, I took my eyes off the road to look over my shoulder to see if the police and
And that was the last thing I remember. You know, I woke
God
up.
Damn.
I woke up in between two concrete medians on the highway, looking at the stars. And I had to pull myself out of there with one arm because my shoulder was dislocated. The clothes I had on looked like null and void. It looked like some shit a hippie was trying to do. Yeah.
Goddamn bear attack.
Yeah. So they put me in the goddamn, they put me in the ambulance. So I climb out the hole. I finally get myself out of the hole. And I see the ambulance coming. I'm just leaning on the median. So I just throw my hand over so they can come get me. They slap me in the ambulance. Give me the juice. Boom. So I get to the hospital. Or whatever. And they tell me, well, Mr. Calhoun, your shoulder is dislocated. We don't know the other extent of your injuries. I'm like, okay, cool. Well, just as long as you keep the juice in me, I'll be all right. So they stabilized my shoulder. They put it back in the socket. Now, soon as they give me the juice, I knock out. But apparently, when I knock out, I throw my goddamn arm over my head and it comes out my socket again. Yeah, so they had to replay. They had to reset it again. And then I had to go through like two surgeries. I had broken ribs. I had a hole in my left leg. They had to give me a skin graft to cover up the hole in my leg, and they gave me a skin graft to cover up my shoulder. The one that was dislocated, it was no skin on that.
When you wiped out, did the police ever catch up to the scene, or how did that happen? Because obviously you were speeding, so did the police get involved with it?
I take it they tried. They probably tried to get involved because this guy came in the hospital while I was still, you know what I'm saying, the same night, trying to ask me, like, stupid questions, you know, basically trying to get me to incriminate myself or whatever. And I'm looking at him, looking at him up and down. This motherfucker got a badge on his waistline, talking about he's somebody from the insurance company. I said, yeah, okay. I just tell him, I don't remember nothing.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah,
insurance company, huh? All right.
Yeah, so
you was down. How long was you down?
I was probably out. I probably was unconscious for a good 10, 15 minutes.
But I'm talking about after that, like once they patched you up, like how long was you just immobile and wasn't able to really get out, move around, and jump back on the bike and shit?
About a good 6-7 months.
Did you second guess even getting back to riding then, or like what did it do to you? And what did that crash do mentally to you?
The first thing I wanted to do was get back on the bike, you know what I'm saying? I wanted to fix my shit and get back to bed. I just wanted life to be normal again, you know what I'm saying?
Because you knew where you went wrong, obviously, so it wasn't like just some freak accident. You know where you fucked up, I take it.
I just wanted to get back to normal, but it did change my riding a little bit. I still ride the hell out of the bike, but I don't take as many risks as I used to.
Did you, shout out to Damn Fools. I gotta ask, were the other individuals that ride with you, were they there?
They
should have been?
One of my boys actually went to the house and picked up Jennifer and brought her to the hospital.
I'm solid brothers, man. They all solid. Doubt. So you get back, fast forward, you patched up. You get back to riding. What was that first ride out?
Boy, I said that shit was something else because, mind you, I said I went down on 281. We had to go to some kind of event, and the fucking route we had to take was on the same fucking road I went down on. And so as soon as I got on that bitch, I was nervous. I rode that bitch slower than hell, but but I got.
I did 10 miles an hour. So I see y'all when I get there.
Yeah, so some things still make me nervous, you know what I'm saying? But I just push through it, you know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, you know, like, if you're too timid at something you do, that type of shit can make you fuck up, you know what I mean? So
that was really my whole point in even bringing it up, because the crash, I mean, all of that is a dangerous incident, period. But to come out on the other side of that and still be going after, you know, still living your passion out is what I take from it. That's what I hear about it, because it's like, okay, well, the average person, if they get in a regular accident and don't break no bones, it's just enough to spook and they'd be like, fuck right. That bike, I'm selling it. Even deeper than that, they can see another accident. They don't even have to go through it. They can see a bike accident bad enough and be like, you know what? I don't want that to be me. I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
That's a whole different mindset. That's a whole different individual to get involved with this, go through this shit, and damn near end bad, because that kind of shit can kill you quick. So to go through that and be like, you know what? No, this is who I am. This is what I'm doing. That's the whole point of it, and that's the dynamic to it that I think should be the takeaway from it. Because at the end of the day, if we're not living for what we love doing,
right,
you ain't living at all. And the bumps in the road, if that stopped you, then you wasn't really about it. Is how I look at it.
You know what I'm saying? Nobody said it to me. Nobody said it best than Nipsey Hussle. You know what I'm saying? So them bumps in the road is what makes you fucking. That's life. You know what I'm saying? If you ain't never been through nothing, you ain't living.
Well, that's the motto, man. You know? Living off safety. Well, shit, man. That's really all I wanted to get out of you. I wanted to hear it for myself because I didn't know. And I also wanted you to share your story on that, because it really, it's a reality check for some people, and that's a life lesson for some people. Even if they don't know anything, if they're not involved in riding bikes or none of that, you can always learn something from shit you hear and talking to certain people. So with that being said, I'm not going to hold you hostage. I want you to give your shout outs and your social media handles and whatever you want to direct people to that you're involved in.
Shout out to everybody back home. Smooth, of course, Jeezy, Brandis, Killer Juwan, the whole West Side, you know what I'm saying? All the guys we came up with. I hope they stay in trouble. Instagram, you can catch, that's basically the only thing I'm on. I don't really fuck with too much social media. That shit is the devil.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to look me up, it's quick, KWIK_DF. Yeah, that's basically it, man. Shout out Damn Fools MC San Antonio again. Appreciate you having me on this thing, cuz.
Yeah, man. Nah, you did good. This shit gonna come out right when I get done with it. It's been another episode of Scrolls, y'all. This is my family. This one was a personal one for me that I wanted to do. You know, just to get it out there. You know, he one of the people that's been supporting me. It's not just because we family. It's because he see my vision and the shit I'm doing. So, I know what it is. I know why people fuck with me. It ain't just because I'm me. It's because I'm trying to get shit done here. But yeah, man. I appreciate you cutting the time out for me. We're gonna wrap this one up and we'll catch y'all next time. The clutch, last second, what a rush. Look, I'm the type to talk to the stars. Straight up, these ain't tattoos, these are scars. My young dogs will tell you when the witness is apart. They care about starving more than they do by the charge.